for me. So today we come and we ask, Lord Jesus, for more of your presence, more of who you are in our lives today. We worship you. We honor you. We bless your name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Worship team, thank you for leading us this morning into God's presence. And God's presence is here. Wonderful presence. You know, this morning we have the privilege of a sermon by someone that I think has said something here once or twice before, but you haven't been given the pulpit, so to speak. And just a few weeks ago, we were blessed to have Chris come and grace us with a great message, and this morning likewise. So I just wanted to introduce you a tiny bit. You're going to introduce yourself more fully. Most people know who you are. They've seen you around, but they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. And that's a good thing. But because it's going to be a surprise. That's what I'm talking about. It's going to be a surprise. Surprises are good. Surprises are great, especially this surprise. So I appreciate that you are involved with leading the youth, along with your lovely wife, and also Elaine. And you've been giving good leadership to that in the last couple of years or so, so we appreciate that. And other things in the church, you guys are involved, you love to serve. And so it gives me a great, great joy to commend to you another one of our young men in the church who loves to serve and who God is shaping and moving through. So can we pray over you this morning as you bring the word? That would be great. Let's bow to pray together. Father, thank you for Simon. Thank you for Simon Tracy and for how you've just been working in his life over these last few years. Thank you for where you've brought him from to where you've brought him to. And we thank you for where you're leading him in days ahead. And as he brings the word today, we pray that you would anoint him with your presence, with your Holy Spirit. Just come upon him and move through him and give all of us ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear, and an eagerness to respond to what you are saying to us today through your word, through your servant, Simon. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you this morning.
Thank you. Let's grab that one. Thank you. Good morning. Yes, I have slides. So before I start, most of you know me, you know I talk in a strange accent. So if there's something you don't quite understand, you can put your hand up and I'll just ignore it and keep going. So I just wanted to start by giving a quick introduction about myself, because I know most of you know me and you know my wife and you know who we are, but you don't really know me. And this is something that's been on my heart in the church. We know people in the church, like we know their names. We might know where they work, but do we really know them? Like, do I really know my brother and my sister? And it's something that my wife and I have been trying to, inviting people and getting to know people. So this is a Simon 101. In the front of your chair, there's a pen and the sermon notes. There's a test at the end. If you don't pass the test, you can't leave. Pastor Randy has locked the doors. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, let's see if this clicker works. Oh, look at that. Okay, so this is me. So as most of you know, I was born in England, but I was actually raised in Germany, and my dad was in the British Army. So I lived in Germany pretty much my whole life. My son is laughing at the picture I put up. Yeah. And so growing up in Germany kind of gave me a bit of a different experience of life, and I'll get into my school experience in a minute here. After I left school, I remember we graduated at 16 in England. So 16, you leave high school. So graduated, went to college for a year. I didn't like that. So I joined the army. And through that, it brought me to Suffield. And while I was at Suffield, I was there for nearly 3 years in total. I met my wonderful wife and knew that I did not want to go back to the army to be away, because my dad was away a lot when I was a child. And I wanted to raise children and be home every night. So that's what I did. So I left the army. My wife and I were married in 1997. No, see, we met in 97. Yeah, we were married in 1999. Yeah, she's going, honey, you got the date wrong. I know. I know. We have two boys. One is there and he's, you know, in church this morning. See? Takes me being up here to get him into. I'm just kidding. I love you. And so I was saved in 2013. And I'm going to get into that story in a minute here. And there's a couple of people here who, I'm not going to cry, but I'm going to cry. Okay, so as you can see, I'm an all-around good guy. If you have a sports team that I support, I'm sorry. My sports teams are terrible. They're absolutely terrible. So, and in 2014, I became a Canadian. Thank you. So I now have the Canadian passport, which is very strange. The first time I went back to England and we landed and I'm with my family and we get to the check-in and it says European Union residents, non-European Union. Oh, I have to go over here with the weird people now. But it's actually really cool. So yes, very, very, very proud. And there's me becoming a Canadian. So look at that good-looking guy right there. So a little bit about my story, and I'm going to keep this quite short. I was raised in Germany, in a school in Germany, and in England, when you go to school up to grade 9, you take geography, history, and religious education separately. But because my dad was Catholic, I was not allowed to take the religious education class that the school provided. I had to go and take a separate class with a friend of mine with a Catholic priest. Some of you may know teenagers, and you may know my teenager, and he's a lot like me. He starts asking questions. And when you're 13 and 14 years old, trying to figure out your way in the world and who this God person is, and you're asking questions, and you're basically being told to shut up. Stop asking questions. Why are you asking these difficult questions? Just do what you're told. Yeah. As a teenager, being told to just do what you're told and not ask questions, that's not a good thing. And the result of that being was I didn't just walk away from the Lord. I walked away from the Lord at a run. I ran. And became quite an ardent atheist. And when I say ardent, I mean I wasn't the guy who'd be just like, oh, you're silly. I'd be the guy who would argue with you. Like, I would stand and argue with you about, you know, your faith, no matter what it is. I didn't care who it was. I thought it was all a bunch of hooey. And my wife and I were married. She knew this, and we just didn't talk about it. My wife has, has had a relationship with the Lord since she was little, and it's just not something we talked about. And it got to a point where it started to become a problem in our relationship. And our relationship was breaking down, essentially. And this was a big part of it. And so what had happened was we were at the point literally where we didn't know if this was going to continue. And there was a weekend, and a friend of my wife's named Michelle, and her parents are here today, and I love to see you guys, thank you, was getting married in Lethbridge. And Michelle is on the worship team of her church, and she was marrying her husband Rick, and my wife was in a wedding party, so my wife went up to this wedding. I was going to a church, to a wedding. I don't like churches. I don't like, you know, weddings, happy people. So it's true. And so what had happened was my wife was in the wedding party, and so she's in the back getting ready. And I'm sitting in the church going, this is ridiculous. Like, why am I here? I don't want to be here. This is, you know, this is not good. And there's my wife at the wedding. So what happened was God had a different plan. And I remember sitting in the church and, you know, oh, this is stupid. Why am I here? And the church is set. My wife and Michelle were walking from the back. And when I say I felt the Holy Spirit, that's understating the smack upside the head the Holy Spirit gave me right there and then. And it scared me because we know what that feels like. I knew what it felt like. But that's a bunch of hooey. That stuff's not real. That's made up stuff. I don't believe in that stuff. And God said, no, I'm real. This is it. You gotta take this. This is who I am. So I'm wrestling with this for a few days and arguing with the Holy Spirit. That's a good idea. That's never a good idea. So anyway, I am pushing back. I am saying this is not happening. I go home that night, and unbeknownst to me, like, my wife and I had friends coming over to try and talk to us, to try and give us some, you know, help in our marriage, which was really bad. Unbeknownst to me, my wife is driving home praying. This is how good our God is. Praying, saying, God, don't make me choose between you and my husband. Because if I have to, I'm choosing you. She didn't have to make that choice, because God had it. She got home, we start having a discussion, and I start blurting out in my, you know, not sure what's going on, about what had happened to me in church. And Julie's looking at me going, are you saying what I, like, really? God literally answered her prayers as she was driving to our house. And not only did he save me, he saved our marriage. And that's how good our God is. And he continues to save people every day, because God is good. God is generous. And that's who he is. And now I have this family, and this is us a couple of weeks ago, and I look back on where I was and where I am now, and I just think, when I look at the generosity and the goodness and the grace of the God that we serve, it blows me away on a daily basis. To me, to go from on my knees to here, it's pretty cool, and I'll never take it for granted. And then this happened last year. You remember last year that I had a small break of my arm, and I didn't just break my arm; I broke my arm and completely mangled my elbow. And so I was off work for about 6 months, and you know, physio, and I basically have a bunch of pins and screws holding this together. And since the summer I tried to help my wife and Sam do some gardening, and that was a mistake because I was trying to shovel. And I thought, oh, that really hurts. That I shouldn't have done that. And then the next day it was still hurting, and I thought, no, I really need to go get this x-rayed, like, just see if I've done something. So I went and got an x-ray, and they booked me an appointment for the surgeon, which was actually, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So I go in 2 weeks ago now to speak to my surgeon, not knowing what's going to happen, like, not knowing. In the meantime, I've had people right here in this room praying for me and praying on my arm, and people have prayed for me. And we were at a friend's house a few weeks ago, and as we were leaving, I'd mentioned this to Gail, and I said to her, I don't know what's happening. My it really hurts. I'm really worried that I'm going to have to go in for surgery. And Gail just looked at me. She went, that's not going to happen. And she prayed that my arm was going to be healed. Tuesday, I went to the surgeon. He said to me, I had to look at your old x-ray because your arm is so well healed, I couldn't see where the break was. That's what hurts. The pain I have is from the pins and plates that are still in there that now he has to take out. Because of the cold weather, it's hurting my arm. He's like, I gotta take them out. So if you think God can't heal, I know he can. Okay? I'm telling you now that that's what he can do. Because he heals. It's right there. We know he does. And we hear testimony of people being healed, and we pray about it. And even this morning with Norb, I know he's going to heal you. I know that our God is going to heal you. And we're not worried about it, because it's in his hands. It is all in his hands. And once we realize that, we have a generous God. A generous God. Generosity, I'm going to read here from Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson says, generosity is expressing the love of God without exception. Without expectation of anything in return. The more than enough that God blesses us with is not to build our own empires, but to extravagantly bless those around us. So the dictionary definition is, generosity is a quality that is a lot like unselfishness. Someone showing generosity is happy to give time, money, food, and kindness to people in need. And like patience, we probably all wish we had a little bit more of it, right? So Luke says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. God is generous. Notice it says running over. It's not just you're going to get a little bit back, right? If God is so generous that you're going to be rewarded many times over, so much so that it's going to run over. You won't be able to contain it. It also says to make room for more, because once he's done that, he's not done. God is so generous, he will keep giving. Always, always giving. Because you will be enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. So I've been thinking about this week as I've been preparing. And the one thing that keeps coming back to me is that the first step to becoming truly generous in our lives is to recognize that everything belongs to God. Everything. We're only looking after it, right? We're just the stewards. We just use whatever he gives us for his purpose. So God created the world, everything on it, and God created you. And so everything we do is for him. Everything. But there's always a small but, because we can be generous in our lives with everyone around us. We can be generous in our family, tithing. We can be generous just giving our time. But there is always a little bit of warning here, and God wants you to do that gladly out of the goodness of your heart, because you want to do something. Be generous because you want to be generous. Don't be generous in front of others, otherwise you will have no reward. We're not to put on a show. This is not a competition of, look at me, I'm doing all of these things, okay? You will be seen being generous in your life by the only person it really matters to, right? Everybody else seeing it doesn't matter. It's what you and God have between the two of you that matters. That's the most important thing. So, how can we increase our generosity? Our generosity. Because we can't increase his. His is infinite. I mean, there's no way we can contain what God gives us. But what can we do? What can we do to give more of ourselves in our community, in our church, with our family, with our friends? Like, what else can we do? Because it's not for us, it's for him, right? We have an amazing church. And I don't mean this building, I mean you guys. The second Sunday we were here, Julie and I, was the Christmas banquet. And within minutes of everyone running around and putting tables together, and Julie and I putting these tables together, and people looking at us going, who the heck are these two? Like, what are they doing? Who are these people? That we found a home. We found a place where we could help people, because that's our hearts. We want to help people. That's who we are. And so, as you know, last Sunday, we had the banquet again. And Pastor Larry, as he's wanting to do, says to me, hey, why don't you MC? So if you guys were there last week, you would have seen my performance last week as MCing the Christmas banquet. I know the people there really enjoyed it. They really enjoyed my jokes. Okay, now I know for a fact, and I'm going to look at the camera, because Nairesh and Shadir are in the edge, and they thought my jokes were terrible. So I have a joke. It is a dad joke. Okay, so, but it does tie into what we're doing today. So why can't fishermen be generous? Because their business makes them selfish. So. Thank you very much. See? Nairesh is shaking. She's in the back going, oh, man. The outreach programs that we do in this church are amazing. Even this morning, right? We heard about helping people who are cold. And it's a small thing, but it's huge. It makes so much difference, right? When I was off with the arm, I was kind of sitting at home feeling sorry for myself, and Pastor Lara reached out and said, hey, why don't you come down to Oasis? Okay. So I can drive. So I drove down to Oasis, and as Pastor Larry does, he went, hey, welcome, here. Okay. Hi. I said, what would you like me to talk about? Just talk. Whatever's on your heart, just open it up. Okay. And I learned very quickly there at that ministry that it's not about giving people food. It is a small part about giving people food. But that ministry is about, after I was done speaking, I don't even remember what I talked about. It was more about then coming alongside somebody, sitting down and getting to know people, right? Because people need to know that they have value in their lives. People need to know that they are loved. A small act of just sitting with someone and saying, hey, how's it going? How you doing? Right? I'm going to, you know, sit with you and talk to you and get to know you. It makes a huge difference to somebody who you might take a step back, step aside from. Oh, I don't want to, right? Being able to step next to somebody and sit with them and talk to them and get to know them. We in here probably need to do that a little bit with each other, get to know each other more, right? Because you can't build a relationship if you don't know somebody. You have to get to know them and really get to know them. So now you know me, I'm going to be getting text messages from everybody saying, man, let's go for coffee. Maybe. No? Okay. So, sharing. A very quick story about sharing. When I was small, I was 6 or 7, I went away to a camp. And it was like a 2-day camp, and we were all told to bring food, and the food was to share with everybody. Okay. I had a big box, like a family-sized box of Ritz crackers, like the cheesy crackers, right? Big family-sized box that I was to put into the pile to share with everybody. I don't want to share those. I like those. So when it came to the, you know, we all sat around and said, okay, everyone bring out what they want to, I didn't want to share. And so I remember the lady saying to me, well, Simon, we're all sharing. I'm like, yeah, but I like Ritz crackers. And so she said, well, if you're not going to share, you can take your Ritz crackers and go back to your room. Fine. So I went back to my room. And I sat in my room with my box, big family-sized box of Ritz crackers while everybody was in there eating all the other stuff. Oh, I mean, I like Ritz crackers, but I also like, you know, all the other stuff that was in there. So I sort of sheepishly came out, put my head around the corner, and she said, if you're willing to share, we're willing to share. Okay, I'll come and share. I can do that. That was the quick lesson to me that sharing is important, not just because you don't, you know, giving something away, but in order to get to know the heart of people, you have to be vulnerable. You have to be able to be in a position that you might get hurt. The person might reject you. The person might not want anything to do with you. So you have to be vulnerable enough to accept that that might happen. But the only way we can get true friendship and true love in our life is to be vulnerable. Bring the wall down. Be open. Hey, here I am. Warts and all, good looks and everything, here I am. Barb's laughing at me. But that's the only way we can do it. So, this is the point. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion. Because God loves a cheerful giver. It's true. Now, don't get me wrong. God loves you anyway. It's kind of who he is. But I think he wants us to give generously, like he does. Because who's more generous than God? I'm not. No one in here is. I mean, we got some people who are pretty close, but, you know, no one is more generous than God. God is a generous gift giver. And his generosity will transform your life. Because it's almost Christmas. And what's the greatest gift that God gave us? He gave his son for me and for you, for everybody. Because God loved the world that he gave his one and only son and whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's a pretty good gift. That's a gift you can't re-gift, right? That's a gift that you just have to accept. And it's something that I chose to accept when I was at my lowest, and I chose to accept it, and God went, about time. Okay, and now I'm going to use you and everything that you learned, and I'm going to use you for my purpose. And here I am. I never in a million years thought I would be doing this. Someone did. So the wedding that my wife was at, the bride, Michelle, had said to Julie, Simon is not only going to be saved, but Simon is going to be a preacher. Oh, my wife laughed. Oh, she laughed. Joke's on you, honey. Okay. That's who I am. I am a guy who is saved. I am a guy who has received the Holy Spirit and continue to receive it every day. And I try to give it back to people. I really try. Because, and this is what I want to close with, Matthew 6:19. Don't store up yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy them, where thieves can break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. That's the end of it. How do we do that? We follow Jesus. We follow what Jesus said. We follow his example. We give thanks to the one who sent him. And we bask in the Holy Spirit. We pray, we pray, we pray, and we listen. Because praying is a two-way conversation. You have to listen. Some people need to work on that. But when we listen, our hearts become full and we want to share it with everybody. We want to shout from the rooftops, hey, guess what I got? I got this guy. He's called Jesus and he's amazing. Do you want to know about him? Most people go, But you will get people who are vulnerable enough to go, yeah, I do. Because God loves me and God loves you. And God loves everyone because he's generous. So as Christmas approaches, please, let's be generous with everyone around us. Be generous in our tithing. Be generous in our giving. Be generous with our time. And you watch what God will do in return for you, because we have a generous God.
Thank you, Simon. That was great. That was great. As we close this morning, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.